Hello there, Verbal Shenanigans fans. It's Scott, your boy. I want to tell you about the new sponsor we're very excited to work with. Let me try to get a work with. And that's DraftKings.com. Fantasy sports fans are winning huge cash prizes every day at DraftKings.com, America's favorite place to play daily fantasy sports. Daily fantasy means no season-long commitments. Play whenever you want. Guy gets injured, no big deal. Start again the next day. Okay? You like fantasy baseball? You get a new team every day. It's awesome. Just pick your sport and draft your team. It's like a new season every time you play, so you're never stuck with the same players. Over $1 billion will be won at DraftKings.com this year, and you could be the next to win. Big. Go to DraftKings.com now and enter the promo code Shenanigans to play for free. That's Shenanigans for free entry now at DraftKings.com. Do it, people. All sorts of different sports you can play, whether you're an MMA fan, a golf fan, a racing fan, you name it, go to DraftKings.com, promo code Shenanigans.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
What? I hear those noises again, Scott.
You hear them noises again?
Yeah.
Are they getting...
Are we leaving America and going to Wolf Nation?
Are they getting louder?
Let's see. Let me press my ears up.
Because Wolf Nation, our latest sponsor on the podcast, that is WULF Nation. If you don't know how to spell nation, that's NATION. Very excited to work with Wolf Nation, Michael Berlew.
Yeah, Scott, how do you spell .com? I'm going to need help with that.
Yes.
How many H's are in there?
Their website should be up this week. Now, what is Wolf Nation, Berlew?
Well, it's a new apparel company.
That's correct.
Who's coming out with gear for both men, women, and pets.
Maybe animals. Maybe children.
Yep. And they work well with the men who grow them beards, my friend.
That's it, baby. Because a beard is a man's crown, okay? Yeah. You know, it's a man's crown. People love it, okay? So Wolf Nation, they're coming on. They're coming on hot. Coming on quick.
Ooh.
Like a wolf on its prey. Arr, arr.
I'm getting excited, man. I mean, I'm gonna do so much research when they launch. I'm gonna watch The Wolf of Wall Street.
Yes.
I'm gonna watch Teen Wolf.
Yes.
I'm gonna watch that bad wolf movie with Jack Nicholson in it.
I'm gonna only listen to bands like Wolf Mother.
Yes.
And
I'm gonna be
White Fang. I'm gonna watch White Fang.
I'm gonna move to Minnesota to be a fan of the Timberwolves.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, we really are excited to work with Wolf Nation. If you want to check Wolf Nation out right now, if you go to Instagram, type in Wolf Nation, WULF Nation. If you want to go to Facebook, just type in Wolf Nation. If you want to go to Twitter, Wolf Nation underscore Wolf, WULF. And contact number 1-888-641-1003, 1003, Wolf Nation.
God, I'm so excited. I grow an extra beard in my armpits.
That's just a little gross. We're trying to promote the brand here.
Oh, all right. Then. I guess I'll shave that one.
You ruined it again.
Sorry, Wolf Nation.
Wolf Nation, wake up, live free.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Guaranteed to have the time of your life because Murphy's really socking the ball. Five fucking home runs over the wall. All east side, west side.
I think there's a side of Yankee fans technically.
I don't think I'd have the time of my life.
Welcome! I am fired up, Michael Burrow. Now, what's interesting about this podcast, by the time it goes on, the Mets will either be in the World Series... Or gave up four games in a row. Okay? So, I'm going to go out on the limb and say we're going to the World Series.
I got my fingers crossed for Marty McFly.
Oh, God, don't get me started on that. Today, if I see one more Back to the Future, like, meme or thing on Facebook, I'm going to puke. I'm like, Jesus Christ. Okay, I get it. People have been posting this every year, like, over and over again. I'm so glad it's over, okay? It's Back to the Future. Get over it.
No, excuse me, it was Back to the Future 2.
Yes. But anyway, welcome back to Verbal Shenanigans. We are happy to be back. We got some guests online today, and we'll get to that in a minute, but...
Just your ordinary guess.
Michael Burrow, what do you think about these Mets here, buddy?
I gotta give them creds, man. Pitching's coming along, and more importantly, the thing that's scared the Mets during the summer, the hitting's there.
The hitting is there, yeah. And it's coming from not just Murphy, even though Murphy is obviously just unconscious right now.
Yeah.
But it's coming in from other guys every single night. Granderson, Wright had a big night last night. Cespedes is back, and... It's great to see, and I'm fired up. I'm thinking of possibly taking a credit card and swiping it and buying Game 5 World Series tickets. And
will it be your credit card?
No.
Oh, okay.
No,
I was about to say.
Taking a credit card and worrying about it later.
Your dad's walking around, honey, have you seen The Discover?
I don't know. Of course it's this year when I have absolutely no money, but I always said if the Mets go to the World Series that I was going to... Just do it. But right now, tickets are like $600, standing room only right now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
but it could be another 25 years.
Could be, man.
You know, especially the Mets.
It's a fickle thing, these sports things.
You know, you never know. One of these pitchers goes down, career's over, they don't resign their hitters. You know, certain guys don't work out the way you think they would, you know. I don't know.
Well, I know they. I was listening to The Fan earlier, and they were talking to the guy who paid for the billboard for the Wilpons to sell the Mets.
Yep.
And they pretty much asked you, "Are you, you know, regretting doing it?" He's like, "No, because even if we win, they'll probably screw it up next year."
He's probably right. Sadly, that's what he said. And there's no excuse now. They got their playoff money. They've got their millions they've made off of these games. Go out and sign them. Go out. They're probably hoping for a couple losses to get two more games back at Citi Field.
That's true. I mean, they say three World Series games equate to $15 million, so that should be enough to get out of that whole Ponzi scheme kind of stuff.
That's Murphy right there. You know, I think you got to sign. The guy reminds me of Mark DeRosa, but, you know, I don't know where he could play three or four different positions, you know, just hit. You know, he's not a great fielder, but he's serviceable, and he's a guy you could stick right in the middle of your lineup. I have this weird feeling he's going to the American League. I could see him.
That's why I'm hearing the Angels. I'm hearing the lead team for him.
See, I could see that. I could see like the Orioles picking him up for some reason. I picture him in an Oriole uniform. I don't know, but I am living and loving every moment of this. It's been a long, long, long time coming.
Yeah, this is the first time they said the four teams in the championship games were over 20 years since their
all last four World of these Series. Franchises are starving for a World Series. What, Toronto is the most recent?
Toronto's the most recent in 93.
That's a long time.
You guys were 86, Royals was 83. Yep.
And the Cubs
got a little bit past that.
What was it? What were they?
1908. All because of they wouldn't let a goat into a stadium.
Well, your Sixers may break that record.
No. I mean, eventually they're going to get that first pick. I mean, that's all they're doing. They're just third, new.
Tank it
again.
Do the Phillies have a crappy, like, Phillies song? Like an old-timey song?
I'm trying to think. Nothing's really coming to mind.
Let me see what happens when I look it up.
You figured that 93 team would have done like a Super Bowl shuffle type of
song.
That's
what I mean. I love these. I was thinking today, like, I want to play all these old crappy like sports
teams.
We are
the Bears.
But let's see. We got a Phillies theme song. Let's see what that is. Let's see what that is.
It sounds like a commercial for a movie.
Very well.
Five-time number one. I think I've heard that
Hold
song.
Hold on, let's see if the Phillies work. Oh my god. Oh man, let's hear the second verse here.
Nope.
No
Except
one.
For 2009-10.
I don't even know if I could finish this.
No, I'm a Phillies fan, and I'm kind of like, yeah.
That has to be a fan song. But I think we're going to come back to it, because there's a whole bunch of different songs we can go over of people's songs. But I wanted to take a couple minutes here. I want to get our newest sponsor on the line here. I want to talk to the proprietor of Wolf Nation.
Mr. Wake Up and Live Free?
Mr. Wake Up, Live Free. His name is Richard Nunn. Okay. And we're gonna call him real quick and find out what's going on with the company here.
Richard Nunn.
I think we're calling him.
Doesn't sound like it according to my headphones.
Nope.
Oops. I think Obi's back into whatever's left of the cat food.
Yeah, well. Hold on. I think I put it the wrong way.
Mm-hmm. You put it in the wrong hole again.
Yeah, well.
They don't complain. It's not an issue.
Mm-hmm. There we go.
Not even our sponsors are available to talk to us.
No.
Hey, hello?
Is this Richie, proprietor and owner of Wolf Nation?
Yes, it is.
That's it, baby. Mm. What's up, Richie? It's Scott.
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great. We have a guest coming on in a few minutes, but I figured we've been talking Wolf Nation for the last, 4 weeks or so. I figured we'd give you a quick call, and maybe you can give our listeners an update on what's going on here. And this is my co-host here, Mike Berlew.
Salutations.
How you doing, Mike?
Doing good, my friend. Doing good.
So, Richie, what is it? What the hell is Wolf Nation? We tried to describe it, but we have fun with it. You know, we put wolf noises in and talk about growing beards. But tell us where this came from.
Wolf Nation came from basically my personal experience in life. Wolf represents, as you know, broken down. Wake up, live free. Of course, my wake up living free was, you know, I'm tired of going to work every day, punching the clock, living check to check. So, you know, wolfing, in other words, mean growing a beard. And that's my wolf, and I spelled it with a U because U represents that unique individual.
Oh,
you know?
So it wasn't because you couldn't spell.
No, it wasn't because of that.
Wolf Nation, W-U-L-P-H-E.
W-O-L-P-H.
No, I wanted to be different, you know.
Absolutely.
In our neighborhoods, when you say wolf, when you say, oh, look, he's wolfing, I mean, he didn't get a haircut and his face is, you know, he has a beard. It's a full-fledged beard.
So the wolf thing was an expression before you came up with the name then?
Yes. It actually represented the beards, which it still does. But as I started brainstorming and started thinking and speaking to different advisors that I'm also dealing with, you know, such as yourself, you know, I just came up with, with the Wake Up, Live Free, because I wanted to target a market that's in the same situation I'm in. As far as, you know, they're tired of going to work every day, or it could be a bad relationship, or it could be anything. And you got to become strong. You have to become a predator and not be a prey to get what you want in life.
I love it.
And that was my idea of wolf. And also including the beard, wolfing.
Yeah, because
I mean, that's interesting. I mean, what a lot of people nowadays are so scared and stuck on their job and their jobs and everything. What made you take that step to make your own clothing line and everything? What got you out of any concerns about punching that clock?
Well, to be honest with you, Scott, we'll start leading me in that direction. I apologize. One day, this actually happened, I believe, over the summertime. But I've been feeling this way for a while. Now, don't get me wrong. I have a great job. You know, it's a good income. But at the end of the day, I'm still a piece of chewing gum in the corporate America's mouth, in corporations' mouth. Once the flavor, dissolves, they spit you out when they don't need you no more. So I start sitting here thinking of different things, of ways for me to make money and how to capture markets. Right. So, you know, basically, you know, it all started with just a picture on Facebook of the side glimpse of, you know, of my face with the beard. And I received a lot of hits on it, a lot of likes. That was cool. Wasn't thinking about a clothing line, wasn't thinking about anything of that sort. And I started seeing, you know, I started noticing a lot of, you know, beards popping up all over the place. They've been around, I guess, being that it's in my mind now, it's more broader to me because I started focusing more on the beard. And I said, wow, you have a lot of guys wearing beards.
I thought you were just going to say, beards have been around for a long time. I was going to be like, yes, Richie. Yes, they have.
In 1372.
Well, I've been wearing my beard for the past 10 years.
Me too.
And it was actually done on purpose because I couldn't afford a haircut. So actually, I just used it to shave it up. Now it's a nice beard and women love it. So that's when you become a wolf. And so, you know, I'm tired of living check to check and busting my behind.
Absolutely.
And actually, I put the image on the shirt. It all started from a dream. Then went from a dream to Facebook, then from Facebook to a shirt, then from the shirt to a lot of women, you know, inbox. Well, I like the shirt. It's a beautiful shirt. A lot of guys liking it because it represents the beard. And actually, you know, you can't even tell it's me because it's a silhouette. You know, it's just a man with a beard with glasses.
Right.
You know, and now I took it to a whole other level. I'm talking to, fashion designers, seamstress. Wolf Nation is actually more of a sporty apparel. With the, you know, with the hoodie, mm-hmm. the t-shirts, you know, the jeans, they're going to be designed, shorts, boy shorts for women, you know, eventually clothing, clothes for pets, small pets, and, you know, kittens and cats.
Yeah, I got to get my dog in a Wolf Nation shirt. That just makes sense.
You got to get your dog out of the cat food first.
Yeah. Does Wolf Nation have any solution for my dog eating cat food all the time?
It should, man. Long as he eats.
Well, the cats don't, but.
So your cat is starving?
Well, no big deal. But, Richie, we just wanted to do a quick pop in. So, Wolf Nation, we're pretty much at the start of it. I've been talked about, you know, I've done some design with you, and we've been talking about some things coming up, possibly a Wolf Nation comedy show and whatnot.
Yes.
I'm very excited. And what I want to do with you is one day actually have you come in, sit in studio, but I also want to do these kind of check-ins like once a month, give us some updates on the brand, and we're very excited to work with you, and so far it's been pretty good. I've gotten some questions from some listeners and whatnot and what's going on with that, so that's always good news. But if people want to like start to get like a little idea of like what's going on here or start to see some of the designs and some of the work, where can they go?
Yes, you can actually go to, I have, of course, the Facebook page. Just type in Wolf spelled with a U, and you'll see, of course, the design that you came up with, Scott, which I love it, with the wolf and the Wake Up, Live Free with the moon. You'll see that design.
Yes.
With that image, I'm sorry. And you'll start to see a few of the pictures of the different young ladies that's modeling the deep V-neck shirts, also myself modeling my shirts. I also just ordered my first hoodie for Ed Lover. Yes, for Ed Lover. I'm going to meet him this Saturday.
Ed Lover,
New York.
Nice.
Yes, yes. And also the comedian himself, Talent. He actually invited me out there. Yes. So right now the website is being designed as we speak. It's almost complete. I just want to make sure it's not perfect, but at least perfect enough where people can understand what it stands for.
You don't want to put it up broken, you know?
Yes. And I also want to break down the meaning of Wolf Nation on the website, what it stands for, you know, Wolf and Wolf Nation. Now, Wolf Nation is more of a sporty apparel, and Wolf is more focused on the, you know, like more of the dressy, you know, dressy, classy suits, designer dresses. That's a whole other ball game. Once, you know, everything starts forming Wolf Nation, I mean, that's my next focus with Wolf.
Now, my co-host here, I was thinking you could do another offshoot called Shaggy Wolf Nation for, like, you know, like, it'll be based around the Philly area of, like, redneck Philly fans and NASCAR fans where they wear, like, half a shirt. And Mike will gladly rock that.
I mean, that sounds
That'd be great.
That sounds like a great promotion, so they can go on by. I mean, Where my shags at, yo?
Where my shags at?
Shaggy Wolf Nation.
Shaggy daggy doo, baby.
But Richie, we'll be in touch, and thanks for popping on. I figured it'd just be a good way to, instead of us talking about it, let's hear the voice behind the curtain here for a few minutes.
Yes, and thank you. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. We'll be checking in all the time.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the call.
All right. Thank you,
brother.
Man.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, this is Russell State, a.k.a. Terry State. And listen to Verbal Shenanigans. Do not change that dial, because I'm going to come get you, son. Oh!
Okay, so that was my man Richie from Wolf Nation. And I'm, like I said, very excited to work with him. I thought it would be nice to just maybe get him on instead of us talking about it, and hear a little bit of what it's all about. And we'll be getting more into it as he starts developing a little bit more and actually have him on so we could talk a little bit more with him.
Well, I'm just happy I got my own little territory. I can work on my own wolfies, you know?
Right. See, you got your brand, I guess.
Yeah, I got my wolfies. I got my shags. I mean, the nicknames are endless as long as two is endless.
Yeah. But we're going to go into our guest here. Now,
all right. It's me?
No, it's not you. You're not even considered a guest anymore. You're like freaking old hat at this point.
But I've been so special and all. It's like, Burley, we got a really special guest. And I'm sitting here, it's you, buddy.
But we're delving into, delving back into the film industry. We are going to bring on AJ Mattioli. Okay, AJ Mattioli from Mattioli Productions, and he has several movies. Okay, one of them he wants to promote is something called Lady Peacock. Now, AJ is
that's based on the board game Clue, right?
Right, Lady Peacock with the candle.
Yeah, it's the after story. It's after we found out who killed Mr. Body. What goes on afterwards?
Right, but. Whatchamacallit? Now you got me off guard here. there was something I wanted to read. Hold on. It was about AJ here. Okay, yeah. So, quoted by Times Square Gossip, AJ could very well be considered the voice of the LGBT community.
Interesting.
In the independent film world. In May in 2011, issue of The Advocate included Mattioli in their issue of 40 People Under 40 to Look Out For.
Hmm.
Okay, so he's got several movies coming out. Obviously, he is part of the LGBT community. So I'm excited to talk to and make it a little different perspective here. So let's
40 people to look out for under 40. I only got one more year to get on that list.
Yeah. Oh no, you're to look out for, but in a different way.
Yeah,
like on the wanted post office. List.
Around school zones.
On the wanted list, school zones, banks. So let's get AJ on the line. It might be our usual first missed call and then a call back.
Yeah, we got our streak back.
Hello, is this AJ Mattioli?
I think you hung up on her.
Did I?
I think you hit the red button. Screw you, man. Verbal Shenanigans only calls twice.
Hello.
Hey, is this AJ Mattioli?
Yes, it is. Hey, Scott. Sorry about that. I'm new to the whole Skype thing.
We could tell. We can tell.
It is what it is, you know, my friend?
That's all right. That's all right. We knew you'd come on. We had faith. So, AJ, welcome to this lovely podcast called Verbal Shenanigans. I'm Scott Brennan. This is my cohort here, Michael Berlew.
How's it going, AJ?
It's going well. Thank you guys so much for having me.
You do realize when you wave, she cannot see you, right?
No?
No.
But I wave really hard.
For some reason, it's really staticky on my end. Are you hearing that?
It was probably my wave. It was too hard.
No, but hold on. Let me adjust a few things. Maybe It's on our end. It might be.
Oh, that's much better.
Oh, okay. It was probably just the wire that was loose or something.
Excellent. Perfect. Thank you.
But AJ, welcome to the show. I reached out to you, I don't know, it's kind of quite a while now, back, and we kind of played email tag for a while, and I remember looking you up because one of the things we try to do on the show is find, like, find guests who are, one, like, very, usually, like, passionate about something or crafty about something, but we also try to find, like, just overall, like, interesting people who are in different, like, areas of life that we have no clue about, or they're really good at something that we don't know anything about. So your production company popped up in Google, which was, I believe, Mattioli Productions, correct?
That's correct, Mattioli Productions.
All right, well, why don't you tell us a little bit about that first?
Okay, well, Mattioli Productions is a film production company that specializes in LGBTQ media. Essentially, we, you know, although we do, you know, we will produce heterosexual films, we mostly deal with the LGBT genre,
right,
and put out, you know, feature films and documentaries of every different genre, really, between dramas and comedies and political films. So we're doing a little bit of everything over here in the film world.
Okay, now were you like a film student, or did you study film, or is this a hobby turned into a full-time kind of thing, or?
Well, essentially, I was not a very good student in high school, and my mother and father begged me to go to college, because in the late 90s, it was actually an option to go or not to go to college. So I was like, all right, I'll do 2 years and see if I like it. I wound up finding film. I just kind of like signed up for the class and I fell in love with it. And it's kind of been nonstop since. So that's about 15 years ago. And I started on 16 millimeter film.
Awesome.
And, you know, they don't even, I don't even know where to buy that anymore.
I was going to say, it's pretty hard to come by at this point. This is a full-time gig for you then.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, pretty much. I'm lucky enough to be recently just commissioned, actually, for a new web series called 4 and 20.
4 and 20. Okay.
Yes.
The answer is 24.
So I was just commissioned to produce that and essentially pick out the crew and make sure that all the paperwork is, you know, professional and on the status quo with, you know, the big players in the game, and just kind of make sure that we put out a, you know, quality product each and every time.
Awesome. Now, you have so where did it start? Obviously, you don't go right to a feature film. Like, we talked to a couple of directors on the show before, and it usually always starts with shorts or around a 30-minute thing. So where did you start?
It's a very I actually started out as a production designer, and that's the person that designs and builds the sets.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And pretty much I was doing production design for this company, and I think I was the only LGBT person that they knew, and they were writing a script about lesbians, and he was like, hey, you want to direct this feature film? And I was like, I'm not going to say no.
Now, I am not LGBT, but yeah. I got to work on Little Shop of Horrors in high school, and I got to be the plant. How cool is that?
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, like, weird. I got to control its arms and its mouth. It's pretty cool.
Weird story.
That's actually pretty fun. One of my close friends, I hang out with a lot of drag queens, and one of my close friends' drag queen name is Sutton Lee Seymour from the show.
Sutton Lee Seymour.
Oh, that's like an angel. Like an angel, you sing.
Yeah, well, yes. I'm like a mixture of Fergie and Jesus.
Jesus-licious.
Perfect. Yeah.
Go ahead, Mike.
So I mean, that's kind of curious to me. I mean, is that like a compliment when somebody comes up to you and kind of like, hey, you're gay, you can do this, right? Or I mean,
you know, there's the battles that you pick and choose. I mean, you know, it's, you know, I was like, of course, there's the part of me that was like, oh my, like, this guy is literally just asking me because I'm the only gay he knows, but there's very few times in life where being gay gets you further in your career.
Right.
So, hell, if I had to use it, I used it. Look, and I think I made a pretty good movie at the end of it all. And that one was called An Affirmative Act. And it was back when gay marriage was not legal, and it was all about a courtroom case about the legalities of gay marriage.
Well, it's interesting because when I reached out to try to contact you, it was literally right around when that decision went down. And I think that's kind of what I was looking for. You know, try to get the perspective of someone who is in the community and whatnot, and, you know, both kind of the before and after, and then if there was any massive changes, or is it kind of still a struggle, or
I definitely think that people, you know, in the straight world, you know, as even the supporters of the LGBT community and our allies, I think that because they only see that's what's publicized on television,
right,
is that we're fighting for gay marriage, we're fighting for gay marriage, and like so many people think, oh well, you have gay marriage, so the fight's over. And right, it's like, well, I could still get, you know, I'm identified as a trans man, and I could still get fired in more than 50% of the states for being trans. Right. And that's, you know, it's not as glorified as, it doesn't make as fun of a story as gay marriage and watching handsome men walking down the aisle. You know, it's less pretty than that, so it doesn't sell as many newspapers. So there's, sadly, exhaustingly, plenty more battles to fight. I believe we're winning, and we're winning not only the battles, but we're also winning the war, I think, at this point.
That's so great. But before we like get into like more of your actual films and whatnot, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, like your personal story?
Sure. Pretty much. I came out as, geez, when I was, I would say my coming out story is this. In second grade, I went to Catholic school, and I was about to receive communion, and I remember crying hysterically that I had to wear this white communion dress. And I'm Italian, so, like, it was this white, gaudy, big dress.
See, I used to cry like that every time I was forced to go to church.
Mm. Oh, fair, you know what? It's a very similar cry. It's very similar. And I cried, and my mom wound up bribing me and buying me the Nintendo game Jaws in order for me to wear.
Oh, I would have received communion then, no problem.
Oh, I was like, yeah, put me in a dress, I'll wear pink, no problem. You know, whatever. You know, I mean, till this day, you can still bribe me and I'll wear a dress. I mean, it's not a problem.
I've done worse for Super Nintendo.
So she went on to buy me that, and I wore a dress, and we paid, you know, I don't come from a rich family by any means, and my mom paid so much money for the communion pictures, and I refused to smile in them.
Nice.
And I, oh man, it was the late, it was the early 80s, and I got a beating of a lifetime.
Nice.
You know, I just, and it's, you know, it's just me just with a puss on my face. It's terrible.
Now, we a good comic friend of ours, he's also an actor. We had him on the podcast. He's also gay. It's really interesting. Because he said that he remembers, you know, like very early on in second, third grade, having these kind of feelings and stuff like that. So I find that like fascinating, maybe not fascinating, but more like what the common person thinks, you know, it's like usually later in life that people realize. So you knew that you were gay from that early.
Yeah, I didn't know what that meant.
Right.
You know, I didn't know that, you know, that translated to, you know, being either lesbian or trans or anything, you know. I just knew it was a little different. Now I think that kids definitely can put a word to it, which is nice, you know, at least in New York. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to say
everywhere. In Alabama.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but at least, you know, the wheels of justice turn slowly, but they do turn, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, the hope is that, you know, I wouldn't have known that I was trans because I didn't know that word until probably a decade ago.
Right.
You know, it just wasn't in the, it just wasn't on television. It just wasn't publicized unless you were looking for that. You know, so I think that's, you know, that's kind of my journey. But mm-hmm. I think that the minute you, you might not know, you know, the same way if you're straight, you don't necessarily know why you like pictures of girls, but you just kind of know you like pictures of girls. It's the same thing for gay people, you know?
Hmm. My answer's boobs, but still. I'm very simple like that.
So, so, you, so when did you come out? When did you come out?
I was probably a sophomore in high school. I kind of, I said to my mom, "Mom, I have something to tell you," and she's like, "Yeah, you're gay." And I was like, "Okay."
Simple enough. Let's have dinner.
It wasn't. There was. I was never really like, "Ooh, let's go get dresses." And I was always, you know, I was also a child of the '90s, so like I wore baggy pants and. That's when, you know, girls were allowed to wear, like, really baggy sweatshirts and still look sexy, you know? So, like, I was you know, raised in a generation that girls were allowed to wear baggy stuff. So I got away with a lot for a while.
Now, you, looking you up, you used to identify as Jana, correct?
I don't anymore. Now I identify as AJ, but yeah, I used to.
Right, you used to, though, right?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, and when did that transition happen?
Pretty much my sister about 7 years ago had my first nephew, and she got me this picture frame that said aunt all over it.
Right.
And I was like, oh, aunt, this doesn't sound right. And I was like, I don't want this kid to call me Aunt Jana. It's just, like, who is that? That's not me. Like, ugh. So pretty much I was like, I kind of want to transition. This Aunt Jana thing doesn't really jive with me. So I changed it to AJ.
Okay.
So he kind of like, you know, I always say he kind of named me. And, you know, for him, you know, there's a special meaning behind it. Now I say that AJ stands for Anthony Joseph. But, you know, when my niece and nephew, it's kind of a name for this mix of aunt and uncle kind of feeling.
Oh, wow.
And... let me ask you, like, a lot of people, like, when they freak out about gay and transgender and all that, they talk about what are we going to tell the kids and all that stuff. I mean, as you say, the story based off of, like, little kids, what to call you. How did that work out, like, going through that? How did the kids react and so forth?
Oh, I mean, kids are amazing. They are, you know, pretty much, like... This summer, it actually came a little bit to fruition. My nephew is, you know, 7, so he's starting to notice body parts. And sadly, my tits entered a room about 3 minutes before I do.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I feel bad. I feel terrible. I see, like, flat-chested girls on the subway, and I'm like, oh, I just want to give these to you. They're doing nothing for me.
It's all about, like, the boobs.
If only we could just have a breast transplant, it would be beneficial for everybody.
Well, I don't know if it would help me, but.
Well, fair enough. Fair enough.
I could probably give some away myself.
Burlo's donating.
Yeah, I got like I got a little A cup going here. I got to lose some weight.
I love it. I actually refer to them as my chesticles.
Chesticles. So, nice.
Yes, my chesticles.
So now, are you going through a full transition or?
Yeah, I'm a pretty good procrastinator though.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I would be too.
You know, I mean, it's a big surgery. It takes you out of kind of work for a month. You know, when you work for yourself, being out of work for a month is rough. I mean, luckily, but here's the thing: like, I live in New York City. All my friends use male pronouns. My family uses male pronouns.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm lucky enough to live in and be friends with people in New York City, and nobody gives really a shit.
Right.
You know, it's like, oh, you want me to call you he and him? Sure, I'll call you he and him. No problem.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, the pushing of the body for me is less important than how people perceive me.
That's good. So, like, did you have a supportive family from the beginning?
Yeah, or was it they're great. They're very, you know, they're very supportive. You know, they, you know, I mean, I really didn't have any problems. I was very lucky. I mean, I think that, you know, I hear these horror stories and I'm just,
going to say, it makes you, you know, like that has to be a big part of the battle, you know, like you love your family and over this, you know, this thing that deals with sexuality and identity, people lose their families over it, which is horrible. You know, like it's just, I can't imagine going through that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, actually my first girlfriend in high school, her mom completely disowned her like they had to go through an emancipation and like it was intense. And I was like, this kid's 16, you know, 16 years old. And I'm like, I remember being in her apartment and thinking it was awesome. Like she had an apartment, she was 16 years old. But like now as an adult, I'm like, what the hell? She had an apartment and we were only 16 years old.
Right.
Like, you know, it's, you know, hindsight's 20/20 on how messed up that situation was. But yeah, people are crazy. And you think in New York City, you know, people are kind of immune to it. You know, it's definitely, you get, you know, 9 times out of 10 people are, but you know, there's still, you know, a-holes everywhere.
Well, yeah. Yep. I mean, and there's a-holes and for everything.
Why are you looking at me when you say that?
But so let's get to your film a little bit. Your first film was what?
My first film that I directed, actually the first film I directed and produced was called The Coffee Shop. And The Coffee Shop is about this little hole-in-the-wall coffee shop that serves the LGBT community out in Long Island. And pretty much the gay waiter is the only staple, and you see all the insane customers that come through the door of this gay coffee shop. It started off as two shorts, and people absolutely loved it. But the thing is, I couldn't sell it because you can't sell shorts. It doesn't matter how much people love it, nobody's buying it. So I decided to extend it to a feature film.
Okay.
And it did. It's doing pretty well. It's luckily, you know, next quarter, hopefully, we'll be, you know, even happier because all the money that we get from the previous movies, we put right into our next movie. So it's pretty much, you know, the more copies we sell, the more money that goes into the next film and generating more LGBT content for the community.
That's kind of funny, you know, how it's like, oh, we got this great 8-minute film. Oh, nobody's buying it. We'll make it 120 minutes.
Exactly. And it's a little insane. I mean, we wound up making it almost like chapters. We did it like 7 chapters and kind of did it almost like 7 shorts and putting all together with the waiter being the string, which is worked out luckily, you know.
So
luckily, but yeah.
So you're able to live off your films, or do you have to work a side job right now too?
I definitely still work within the industry, mm-hmm. doing production design, stuff like that. But luckily, you know, the last 2 years I've been able to, I would say 75% of my income, you know, I mean, I'm not living on Park Avenue, but you know, I am able to, I would say 75% of the profits of my films goes to my living arrangement. Yeah.
Now, AJ, you may be transgender or an actor or whatnot, but one thing you cannot hide is your New York accent.
it's pretty deep. and what's crazy is that I can hear it in my parents, which makes me wonder how much worse their accent is.
Yeah. Are you rooting for the Mets?
Oh, you know it, huh?
That's
you know
the best.
It, you know
I am so fired up. I just talked about it for like 10 minutes before this. I actually have the game recording right now, so don't worry.
Yep, of course.
But I'm all fired up.
I feel so alone and outcasted.
Not only am I from New York, but I'm like off the 7 train. Train's the train that goes to over Citi Field, O'Shea Stadium.
Yep.
So, like, I'm very Queen.
That's awesome. Very Queen. Yeah, see, unfortunately, my co-host is a Philly fan. But he does this as like a work for, you know, like those programs where you help the less fortunate out and you give them chances.
I'm getting my chance.
You're very giving over there.
I am.
Very nice.
I am.
I like that. It's people like service. Me. I like it.
No, AJ, like, making, like, we'll get through a couple more of your films in a second. You have the list over there. Like, you're making films for a certain community. Okay. The LGBT community. Now, obviously, you want everyone to watch your films, but does that both hurt you and like harm the film? Like, it's got to be helpful because there's a built-in audience that are interested in the films, but is it hard to gain exposure outside of that community too?
Well, I mean, it definitely is. I mean, unless you have a big budget, you know, something like Brokeback Mountain, which was, of course, an amazing movie, and I'm not comparing my movies to Brokeback Mountain, right. But when you have, you know, $1 million or more set aside just for publicity, you know, you can get to the main, you know, your main markets, the heterosexual viewers.
Right.
Sadly, you know, we don't have that kind of marketing. So we are, you know, we are sadly only able to sell to 10% of the community. But at the same point, there's less gay movies made.
Mm-hmm.
There's people are, the LGBT community is constantly, like on Netflix, I think there's only probably like 20 gay movies. Mm-hmm. And like, so like we're constantly refreshing and like, what's new? And it's like, I've seen some terrible movies.
Right.
But because it was a gay movie and it was new and I was like, oh, I haven't seen that. Let's watch it.
Right.
So the built-in audience definitely helps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think also when you're making, you know, a mainstream movie, there's so many more of those being made. So that's your true. Chances of people seeing them, even though you have 90% of the population, you know, that might want to watch it. The fact is, you know, most of these movies, you could have the next Gone with the Wind and the only people that saw it was that filmmaker's parents, you know, and that's
mm-hmm.
just the reality of the overabundance of films that are being made. You know, now people are doing it with their cell phones. So now everyone's making movies.
A good friend of the podcast and a good friend of mine, he's a filmmaker, and he put out just hearing his story of putting out his feature film, and he started it at the end of college, and you know, it took him, I think it was 6 years, something like that, to get it out, and he just put it into Quad Cinema, and the amount of money and to get reviews and just hearing how much he had to raise and whatnot, it's just unbelievable, especially with so much competition. And like you said, the easiness of filming things now. Like, and he just talks about, like, we talked to him the other day about, you know, it's kind of a hard balance because people can make anything, but it also doesn't mean that it's good and that the art of storytelling is there either. So it's, you know, very interesting to hear different perspectives on filmmakers.
Yeah, I think because of the simplicity, like these film festivals are getting bombarded with hundreds of films, you know, as opposed to just 50 a few years ago, because everyone, so they have to waste their time watching things that are made on people's cell phones, that are made on people's, you know, handy cams or GoPros, you know, and then there's people, you know, and I'm not saying, you know, if their movie's fantastic, it's a good story, that's great, but like the fact of the matter is like, there's a trade that goes into it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I won't, and there's also a kind of, not to sound pompous, but there's something in saying I always pay my actors.
Right.
Most mm-hmm. production companies don't pay their actors. So when distributors say to me, oh, how come your production cost was so high? You know, it's like, well, because I respect people. And I'm not doing this as a hobby. I'm not doing this as me and my friends going out on the weekends with our cell phones and doing this for a good time. This is people's careers. So when you start being able to do that stuff with no lighting and being able to do that stuff with just your phones,
right.
You know, it all of a sudden you're also talking about a whole other industry now that's not making any money.
See, it's interesting from like our perspective here. We're kind of like on the opposite side of this. Like,
the ability for us to do this little radio show from the house with, you know, a couple hundred dollars worth of equipment and, you know, just the ability to reach out on the internet has provided us with endless, like, just the people we get on this podcast. It amazes us. Like, we've had professional athletes on. We've had just weird things like professional lumberjacks and sumo wrestlers and hippo attack survivors. And it's provided us this, you know, like almost like we don't need professional radio. We can do it, you know, what we think just as good or, you know, God forbid one day better. And like even comedy now, like even stand-up comedy, which we both do, if you're not part of the big conglomerate of Comedy Central, there's still other ways around. There's YouTube and this and that, and get like you're not turned down. Like it's not a one-shot fail, you know. Like there's ways to make your way into that niche. So it's very interesting, you know.
Oh, completely. Well, I also think that the nature of podcasts is different. I'm assuming, you know, you're not asking people for money. You're not raising money through.
Well,
them.
We didn't get to that yet. Mistake. Yeah.
And get yourself some advertisers. Hit up Matty Lloyd Productions.
Yep. Well, it's funny. We actually just had our first advertiser. Like we're working with a clothing company. He just came on right before you and talked a little bit. So it was pretty cool.
Oh,
you know,
congratulations.
Like,
that's great.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, we have like other ones, like bigger ones, like DraftKings and stuff like that. But this is the first, like, off-the-ground kind of startup company like that, you know, is with us. So it's pretty cool.
And that's fantastic. I mean, I really do try to, you know, Matty Lloyd Productions tries to not, you know, buy equipment from your bigger chain stores. And we try not to, you know, I try to get independent artists for all of my, you know, music for all my films.
That's awesome.
And things like that. Yeah, I think that, you know, supporting other startups. I mean, even like I'll go on Kickstarter and just give $20 to a bunch of,
that's great,
you know, different
really
things.
Cool.
You know, when I'm financially able to, if I have an extra couple of bucks, I definitely, you know, support, you know, as many starter companies as possible, because we're all kind of competing with these huge corporations, and it's, you know, sometimes it does feel like a losing battle, but like one sale for someone like me or one advertiser for, you know, most people in our playing field, you know, one sale makes our week,
yeah,
you know.
It's funny you say that. Like I'm a big craft beer guy. I brew a lot of beer and stuff like that. I haven't done it much lately, but I brew a lot of beer and I read a lot of books on craft breweries. I know this is kind of completely off topic, but I have an end point here.
I could talk about beer all day, my friend.
That's awesome. Ooh. But it's funny because like Miller and Budweiser are now combining, right? And like I read like a couple books and people where it's almost better for the craft beer companies because there's these big monsters. But what the big monsters don't realize is that that doesn't really affect the craft beer movement because they're not even trying to compete with that. They're trying to find these niche markets and they're able to turn over things way quicker. Like Budweiser to do they want to do a special Oktoberfest. That's a mass thing, a mass recipe, mass production. Whereas you go to your local brewery, they can turn over a brand new beer once a week and keep things moving, and they have their audience to support their business. So, I don't know. It kind of reminded me a little bit of that.
Well, I mean, definitely. I mean, I think that's also a taste thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that...
Well, for sure.
You know, it's you're also getting the environment of going down, you know, to bars that are serving local things, you know, local beers. But, like, when it comes to equipment for film companies, you know, a C-stand is a C-stand.
Right.
You know, so, you know, sadly, you know, the people that are making it are all making it, you know, it's all the same company.
I think I was thinking more like market-wise. Like, your market, you have a market. You're not trying to compete with the Avengers 3, you know?
Yeah, no.
You know, you're...
How dare you?
Although, the gay Avengers, I'd watch that.
I would love to make that, oh. Man, the world isn't saved, but it looks beautiful.
Hulk, laugh.
Altini.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Go ahead, Mike.
Now, as we read your description, they talk about how you try to purvey, like, the voice of the LGBT community. I'm just kind of curious, like, in the last few years, like, regular mainstream has, like, kind of bumped up their game, and I'm kind of wondering what your thoughts are on stuff like Will and Grace, A Modern Family. Are they really, like, speaking for the community, or is it almost, like, Hollywood stereotypical answers?
Well, I mean, I think with, I mean, Will and Grace, don't get me wrong, Will and Grace made being gay, put being gay in everyone's house. Mm-hmm. Regardless if it was you watch a show or if you saw a commercial, it put gay in people's houses. However, Will and Grace, Will or Jack did not kiss another guy till the fifth season. But Deborah Messing was, mm-hmm. you know, whoring it out. Which is cool. Which I'm like, all right, okay. Go for yours. You know.
I see your point.
My first four seasons were my favorites. Like, okay,
it's advertised as a gay show.
You know, some hicks listening to this right now. Didn't put gay in my house. Didn't put it in my house.
They're pointing a gun at the TV. Don't you come at Will and Grace.
I love it. You know, so I mean, I think, you know, and then there's shows like Modern Family that, you know, sadly shows don't stay as strong as you know, unless you're talking like a Breaking Bad. Shows tend to progressively get worse as seasons go on. And Modern Family, I actually kind of stopped watching, not as like a, hey, let's not watch this anymore, you know, boycott Modern Family thing, no. But I felt that once they were setting up for their marriage, it was so over the top. Mm-hmm. And like, they had these two gay characters who for the first like three seasons were just as bizarre / normal as the rest of the family, whereas the last like season was just we're gay and mm-hmm. we're extra gay. And I was like, all right, this isn't the best representation, you know.
You were like, that's too gay for me.
Well, like, they went to a protest in like a restaurant that other gays were protesting, and like they ate there. And then was like, oh, we protest over everything these days.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, because we kind of should, because we get treated like shit. So right. Maybe national TV shouldn't be telling us, like, oh, get over it.
you know,
but I mean, I'm, you know, there's also so many other television shows to watch that once I get, you know, my jollies twisted, I move on.
Yeah, you know, it's almost messed up. Like, I forgot the name of Will and Grace. I looked up on IMDb. They have a list for quote-unquote gay shows. The third one is Oz.
Is what?
Is Oz. The one in jail. I'm kind of like, I don't think the gay community is, like, rallying around old episodes of Oz. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no one's going, oh, you know what? I really want to get laid tonight. I'm going to watch the romantic first season of Oz. No.
I want to get laid tonight. I should really go steal something.
Yeah, that Nazi character was the greatest gay person in our community.
But
I mean, I guess technically there's a lot of...
Well, that's what I mean. I know it's technical, but like, all right, list your top five gay shows. I don't think Oz is sitting in there.
No, certainly not.
All right. So, AJ, I mean, I guess I would be, I don't know. Before we get to the Bruce Jenner thing, is that a positive for the LGBT community?
Well.
Because I personally think he's full of shit.
Here's the thing. I think that regardless if Caitlyn is full of shit or not, I think that it's great that trans is in people's houses. However,
okay.
She does not represent the
trans
community.
That's what I was kind of going with there.
There's other rich trans people, you know, but they're not... The people that she understands, I mean, she's against gay marriage. She said on the Ellen show that what she said was, well, if it's so important for gays to use that word marriage, I guess I can see it being okay.
No.
Here's the thing. How if a transgender person should never say things like labels and words don't matter, because you're demanding people call you the gender that you want. But then you're saying, well, the word she and her is very important to me, but marriage, that word shouldn't be important to you.
Right.
Mm. You know, we don't need more people discriminating within the community. We don't need people that are against gay marriage going, well, even this, you know, LGBT person says that gay marriage is wrong. So obviously it's wrong. You know, to have her as the representation right now is not what we need.
Well, no, she wanted to take a vote before somebody elected her.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's, you know.
I figured that was going to be kind of the answer.
Yeah, it was, you know, I just think, you know, and she's not a role model. I mean, yeah, but when she was Bruce, you know, going as Bruce and was in the Olympics, an amazing athlete. But we're not talking to someone that was in politics, nor should she be.
Right.
Like, so she's going on these platforms and talking for all transgender people. And I'm like, girl, you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Thank you, Gary Coleman.
And she said, she said one day that she might have sex with a man because it would make her feel more like a real woman. And I was like, the lesbian community right now must be losing their minds.
Right.
So, yeah. I think that we can use much better representation. Yeah.
Smarter representation.
So AJ, I was like, hey, maybe you shouldn't do any more porn, Kim. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Wait, can we take that to a vote?
Well, that's where we disagree.
Okay.
Now, AJ, let's talk about a couple of your films. Rattle them off real quick, Berlo.
I would say Lady Peacock.
No, hold on. We're gonna rattle your films off. I just want to know which one was kind of like a big. We'll get to Lady Peacock in two seconds.
We got
no problem.
Bidentity Crisis. That was a short. The Out - Cider, Coffee and a Bite, The Coffee Clash, The Replacement, The House That Cried Blood, Paragon Algorithm, Curiosity Killed the Cat, The Coffee Shop, Lady Peacock, Gay Positive, Gay the Series, Words, and Clean Cut.
Okay. So out of those, before Lady Peacock, what was one that like got you some attention? Like, there's a great quote on your website saying that you could very well be considered the voice of the LGBT community. Like, that's on your website from Times Square Gossip. So
yeah, that was a lot of pressure when I wrote that.
That's great. Yeah.
Don't say that. Like, I gotta make good stuff now.
So where did you start garnering some attention? Like, you know, that's a good amount of films right there. So which one maybe was like a turning point or actually got like some interest or made you get
really,
a little bit of legitimacy?
Bidentity Crisis really kind of blew up very fast. It was first a play, and I directed the play in this gay play series in New York, and I loved the play. I was like, it's just so good. There's so much to it, and I could really see it as a film. So we reworked the script, added a couple of new characters. You know, extended it, and really, people just loved it. It won the first film festival it was at. It won best comedy, the best lead actor, best lead actress, best director. It was really, that kind of put my name on the board as a producer as well as a director. And then right out of the box, the film, An Affirmative Act, that I directed. I didn't produce it, I just directed it. That one actually got a limited release in movie theaters.
Great.
And that was in the AMC theaters. I think it was in 12 of them around the country.
Awesome.
Yeah, which was great. I mean, it was, you know, right out of the gate, you know. And the thing is, we got a couple of, you know, good reviews, bad reviews. But the fact of the matter is, you know, you can give me all bad reviews, I'm still one of the best to get into the movie theaters.
Absolutely. So, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
AJ, can I take 1 second? I just got to free up a little space on my digital recorder. I don't want to stop the interview. So you could talk to Berlo real quick for a second.
Hi, I'm Berlo.
I'm sorry. That's how we're going to start the episode. The government gives us AIDS. Welcome to the show. Anyway, we are back.
Yeah,
we're back. So you sorry you had to talk to Berlo for a few seconds. It's painful, but, you know, charity is a good thing.
You love me, people.
I feel good about myself for that.
But so you started garnering some attention and whatnot, and so let's get to Lady Peacock, the one. I will admit, I was at work. I tried to watch some of the film. I watched about maybe 15 minutes. Then I watched the previews and whatnot. Now the trailer, you kind of had me linked at the end with the last line of the trailer when you said, "I'm going to give you some titties," or something along those lines.
Yeah, I'm going to give you titties.
Yeah. So tell us about Lady Peacock.
Lady Peacock, for me, is my personal favorite out of all my films. It shows the gay community in a very lighthearted way. There's no deep drama to it. It's a romantic comedy. It's pretty much about a boy who falls for this other handsome boy but loses him to a drag queen. And then pretty much has to compete in drag for the love of the affection of this said boy. And it's pretty much just a movie with a lot of drag queens, a lot of sequins, some amazing, amazing original music written for the film, pop songs from New York artists that just blew me away. So we were really able to kind of have a New York feel in a great location. We filmed over at Queens Theater in Flushing Meadow Park, right by City Field, and made a club in that theater. And really, I think it's quite great. And luckily, our fans are leaving good reviews on Amazon and Hulu and all that. And you know, it takes a while for a movie to get off its, you know, to kind of take off, but right now it's available on Hulu, Here TV, Netflix DVD, and a company just decided to put it on Blu-ray, and it's coming out on Blu-ray on November 13th.
Now, AJ, when you compete in a drag queen competition, what are the rules? How do you win the competition? Because I got to make money somewhere else, so I'm thinking, I don't know. Or maybe
there
I should watch the movie.
There's a lot of money in drag. There's anyone that tells you that there isn't money in drag is a liar.
No one's told me that yet.
RuPaul.
The conversations I have with my friends are very different than the ones you have with yours, I'm sure.
No, probably not.
Should we go over something you've had with me, Scott?
To win a drag competition, essentially there's a few basics in every drag competition. Is your lip sync has to be on point. You cannot miss a word or your audience will kill you. The other thing is your outfit has to be, you have to look flawless.
Now, what is flawless? What is flawless like? Is it the exoticness of the outfit? Is it sexiness? Is it the makeup? Is it the sexy? Or is it everything in one?
It's everything in one. It's how well you're portraying your character.
You can barely find a clean shirt in the morning.
Oh, it takes drag queens about 2.5 hours to get ready, which I didn't know when I was filming. And we had scheduled it to take 13 days. But because it took 2.5 hours for them to get ready, it actually wound up taking us 21 days. And that was very rough because you have to come up with more money. More days means begging more people for money.
Mm-hmm. AJ's just like, come on, we got to take. It's only been an hour. No.
Exactly. Well, one of the first things they do is they take Elmer's. It's totally messed up. They take Elmer's glue and glue down their eyebrows. So just right there, you have to wait like 30 minutes for their eyebrows to dry.
See, there's a sponsorship for Manuel Productions, a fast-drying drag queen glue.
Crazy glue drag queen.
Drag glue.
Drag glue.
Get it now.
I want to dress like a woman, but I don't have the time.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah, see, if you ever want to work with us, we are multifaceted.
I am calling you guys in for the next film. That's
I'm totally down.
We could be the straight podcast that shows up at a drag queen competition. Mm-hmm. That would be awesome.
Hey, anytime you want to go, I can tell you where there's a drag competition tonight. No.
If the Mets weren't on, I would pack this shit up and meet you there.
Scott, screw the Mets. We have more important things to do.
I'm serious about that, though.
You just let me know, all right?
Mm-hmm. So, as far as Lady Peacock, like, is that the most modern film right now? Or there looks like there was a couple on your site. Words is one of them.
Yeah, Words right now is a documentary. Mm-hmm. It's a documentary about words and how identity is affected within the ever-changing landscape of New York City.
Okay.
So we interview pretty much like New York City celebrities, people that are very well-known within the community, and a few people that are well-known within the LGBT television community. And it's just pretty much almost like an anti-bullying documentary. Mm-hmm. Just about, you know, different identities and how, you know, different, you know, when you ask someone how they identify, the answers are quite different. Like, mm-hmm. if you ask a right. gay person how they identify, the fact that they're gay will always come up.
Right.
But I ask straight people, how do you identify? And they're like, oh, well, I play baseball and I'm a lawyer. But, like, they never say I'm straight and they never say I'm male or I'm female. Whereas if you ask anybody in the LGBT community, how do you identify it? Oh, well, I'm a trans man. Right. I'm a lesbian. It's the first thing that they say. So.
It's interesting.
So the documentary kind of takes a look at, you know, that kind of spectrum and the fact that some of the gay people that I interviewed said, one of the drag queens said they identify as not a girl, but as a girl, like G-U-R-R-R-L.
Are you sure they just couldn't spell?
Well, you know, it is New York City schooling, so.
They had a stroke while answering the question. I'm a girl.
Maybe she just had a stroke. Maybe. Yeah. I kind of missed it.
So, AJ, we're coming to the close here. Where can people go to check out your production company, go check out your movies, get more information even on the LGBT community and whatnot? Where can they talk to you?
Pretty much, you could just go to www.mattioliproductions.com,
mm-hmm.
Or you could just look up on Twitter at Lady Peacock Film,
mm-hmm.
Or at the Coffee Shop Movie, and you can find us there.
That's awesome. I will make a statement. Like I said, our buddy Brian, who came on the podcast. One of the things I always found fascinating is that how, like, even, you know, it's timely now with, like, the elections coming up and whatnot. I always found it fascinating that elections and big ticket things like that for our country are just, like, we get concerned about people's sexuality or identity, which to me is always, like, I don't know, always, like, should be kept inside the house or kept in, not like your identity, but, like, things that don't matter in the overall scheme of things. Like, I never understood, you know, maybe when I was a kid I was a little bit more confused, but as an adult I never understood why things like that would drive an election or drive controversy. Like,
completely the fact that, like, I mean, I'm an Obama supporter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that he did, you know, a great job,
right,
you know, within the United States.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, like, he literally answers every international problem with a drone killing a bunch of civilians. I mean, mm-hmm. like, the fact that that's not coming up.
That's what,
in this, like, hey, anybody want to talk about this in the Democratic debate? Like, what the
fuck? Not only that, like, I always think of things like a woman's right for abortion and, like I said, before, you know, a couple months ago, gay marriage. These things are swinging voters one way or the other.
Legalized marijuana.
Where everyone in the end, if you talk to your most Republican friend, you talk to your most Democrat friend, usually you guys agree on 90% of things. You want some kind of security. You want to be able to retire. You want health care for yourself and your family. And, like, you have so much in common. It's these,
oh, totally.
It's these
totally.
Outside bullshit things that mm-hmm. define, like, that will actually swing a party one way or the other. And then you got these guys up there who have to identify with half the United States, where I guarantee 80% of the United States agrees on most things. You know, I don't know if that makes any sense, but
no, I think it does. I think that we agree with most things. We just have different ways to get to the ultimate, like the way we all want to be able to retire and live comfortably. The way I think we should get there as a Democrat and the way a Republican thinks we should get there could be totally different right. ideas, but the overall idea, the want is the same. You know, and I think that's why it's so strange that I also don't understand why it's strange that we can continuously vote on the same thing. Like, wow. How many times do we have to vote on the woman's right to choose?
Oh my God!
And like, we've already fought that.
My favorite thing is, I've said it for years, how the hell is it 2015 and we still have two parties?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I love it when people two parties. Are like, oh,
give me well, eight. Give me eight. Let me choose my top two, and then it actually means something when I go into that little booth. Exactly. I'm not even voting this year because what I see is probably coming up or down the pike is awful on both sides.
Yep. Yeah.
So give me eight people. Give me eight parties that, hey, I kind of agree with number three and number five. They're very similar to what I believe. They're all a little different. Like then there's an actual vote. No,
yeah, no, 100%. No, I totally agree. I think that, like, people are like, well, at least we don't have a dictatorship. I'm like, no, we get to vote for out of two. instead of just two. Being
a flip of a coin.
The one.
And
yeah,
if you
I'm
vote
like,
for the other,
well,
they're
only
like
50% better. You know, like,
a lot of people are like, yeah, you don't vote, you don't get to complain. No, yeah. I didn't vote because I want to complain.
And then when you vote and you do like a third party, like, well, you threw away your vote.
Mm-hmm. But,
yeah, you know, I think sometimes my grumpy old Italian man comes out of me and I'm like, everything sucks.
Yeah.
You know
what I mean? Especially with that New York accent you got going on.
Yeah, there's no hiding it.
There's no hiding it.
Everything freaking sucks.
But AJ, you have been a fantastic guest and
incredible.
Actually, one of my favorites just because I love like delving into things that, you know, maybe. I'm not, comfort's not the word. Like, maybe I'm not exposed to it as much, and mm-hmm. I would like to be, you know, whether it's me being a drag queen or at a drag queen competition, which we are totally down to do that.
I challenge you, Scott.
We are totally down to come do a podcast at a drag queen competition and talk to everybody and have a good time.
You let me know, and they would love it.
I would love it too. But you have been absolutely fascinating, and I wish you luck with whether it's Lady Peacock or Words and just your production company in general. And I'd like to thank you for coming on the podcast. It should be up in about a week.
All right, excellent. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it, AJ.
Thank you so much, and good luck.
All right, you too, buddy.
Take care. Awesome.
Very nice.
Unbelievable. Like I said, brutal honesty. Like, I love talking to that because when do you get to have a serious conversation and sit down and... you know, like honest answers and without the goddamn headlines involved and, all, you know, like it's just.
It was from both sides. It's not only getting that serious, honest answer. It's also to have fun and all, just, you know, you're not only getting the answers about the community, but we can also joke about, yo, we're going to a drag party, you know. It's not even like making fun of
I'm
it.
I'm dead serious about that.
I'm going.
You got to do that.
Why the hell not, man? You live once.
Yep. Well, and you might get inspired there.
Yeah.
You know, you do hate your job, and there's a lot of money in drag.
Yeah, we found that out.
Yeah. But absolutely fabulous interview. We'll be right back.
This is Verbal Shenanigans, bad for business. Tweets, advertising, and things said that shouldn't have been. On March 16th, 2015... an eager Micah Berlew jumped onto Twitter to try to get guests on the podcast, reaching out to Capadonna, a known member of Wu-Tang. In an attempt to get him on the show, Michael Berlew tweeted, "Hey Cap, big supporter of the Klan.
C. Big supporter of the Klan.
And that is Verbal Shenanigans. Bad for business.
And we're back. We just finished up with AJ Mattiolian. Right before that, Richie Nunn from Wolf Nation. Awesome episode so far. Awesome.
We're like a late night show. We now we need the band to come in here and play us out.
The Roots.
Tooth Grinder, what are you doing here?
The Verbal Shenanigans late night show. It'd be like me on the desk, you like Andy Richter, and then Tooth Grinder as the house band.
That'd be awesome. Dear TBS, are you still sold on this Conan guy?
So I think I'm going to prolong. We're going to talk about like crappy sports theme songs maybe next week.
Yeah, that sounds good.
But let's end it with one of my favorites and the longest standing bit on the show. Dirtbag of the Week, Berlew.
Woo-hoo!
Dirtbag of the Week.
Okay. So those of you who are just tuning in, we do a bit called Dirtbag of the Week where I'm going to give Michael Berlew three news stories. Mm-hmm. He's going to decide who is the Dirtbag of the Week.
Mm-hmm.
And this makes it much easier for me because I used to read them and then decide, and that was kind of weird because I knew what they were. So this makes it much more organic.
Mm-hmm.
Organic. Okay.
I'm like a vegan or something.
You're like a vegan.
Because I'm organic.
No. Okay. Couple prolongs police standoff to have sex one last time. So these might be dirt bags. They go together.
Tag team champions.
All right. There's a time to stand off and a time to get off. This blank.
You gotta know when to hold up. Know when to suck them. Know when to run away.
Girl, I'll give you one guess where they're from.
Know when to come.
Where are they from?
I'm going to say Flo-Rida.
This Florida couple shows both. Ryan Patrick Batista, 34, and Leanne Hun, 30, allegedly refused to surrender to police until they could have sex together one last time. A standoff began Wednesday night when Jacksonville sheriffs responded to a call about Michael Forte, 34, who was wanted on several warrants, including armed burglary. A Jacksonville Sheriff's Office spokeswoman said deputies were also looking for Batista, who also had several warrants, including armed burglary. Batista and Hun reacted to the police by barricading themselves inside a mobile home and refusing to leave for more than 6 hours. Three other adults were inside the home at the time the police arrived, but one woman was allowed to leave a short time later. Police said Hun and Batista...
This is the weirdest hostage negotiation ever.
Police said Hun and Batista detained another woman by dragging her to a back bedroom where she was held down. That woman was eventually allowed to leave, but Hun and Batista refused to exit the mobile home. Hostage negotiators were called to the scene and attempted to communicate with the couple via phone and bullhorns. At some point during the standoff, Hun told police she would give herself up, but not until she had sex with Batista one last time. Eventually, they were arrested and charged with resisting police and false imprisonment. The couple apparently had an audience for their last time of lovemaking.
I got a list of demands here. I need a case of lube. Mm-hmm. I need some toys. And I need some sweet music.
Now, this is a guy at the end of his rope. Mm-hmm. 6 hours.
And she was on the end of something
else.
So
that meant he had 5 hours and 45 minutes to, like...
Damn.
To do whatever.
Like, she had to, like, plop his entire body full of, like, Viagra or something to last that long. God damn.
So, that's the Forte. I mean... Forte's from Florida.
Does he really want to go into a maximum security prison knowing that he can keep that up for 6 hours?
I don't know. Maybe.
Next week on Oz, the third most highest rated LGBT show of all time.
All right, I'm a big fan of this one. Here's story number two, Berlew. The maxi pad bandit arrested despite fiendishly clever disguise.
Finally got him. Thank you, Obama.
Who was that maxied man? Get it? A man accused of robbing an auto parts store in Apple Valley, California, has been arrested despite disguising his face
by strategically putting a maxi pad over his eyes. Surveillance video taken around 6:40 p.m. on September 28th shows a man with a feminine hygiene product taped on his head using a piece of wood to break the glass front door of a battery mart and slip inside the store. The suspect stole several battery chargers and flashlights before fleeing the scene in a white 1992 Dodge Dynasty.
I wouldn't expect anything less.
Yep. When Battery Mart owner Mark Weddle saw the video, he immediately noticed something about the burglar. Right away, everybody started saying, "We should call this guy the Maxi Pad Bandit," Weddle told NBC Los Angeles. "We had a pretty good picture of his face because he came to the store the first time and looked in the window without his maxi pad on. But when he came back, he had the maxi pad over his eyes. I guess he thought it was going to take care of everything. It wasn't surprising, but yes, that is, in fact, that's what he was trying to conceal his identity with. He did not do a very good job. Victor was arrested, taken into custody on suspicion of burglary and possessing stolen property. The stolen items were returned to Battery Mart. The maxi pad was recovered and taken into evidence."
They had to take the maxi pad into evidence. "Your Honor, I'd like to call to the audience here Exhibit C. Good sir, could you describe the product to everyone?"
Look at now there's a picture of a guy with a stack full of stuff, but maybe as a man, I didn't know maxi pads could stretch that large.
I didn't know they were that see-through. They can't be working that well if you can.
But look, it's right on his eyes.
He kind of looks like Geordi from Star Trek Next Generation.
Yep. But it covers a good amount of his head. He's kind of like a Ninja Turtle at this point. Ninja Turtle could have a Ninja Turtle coming on in the next week. But that is Mr. Let me get his name again. I don't know his name. Maxi pad guy.
Well, since he got caught, we know it's not a stay-free maxi pad.
Nope. All right, last one. Last one, number three. So we got Maxi Pad Man, and we have a couple who had to have sex before going to the police. Mm-hmm. Okay. A man in Kentucky. We're going to a different region. Was arrested after a police officer witnessed him digging up a grave in a local cemetery. Right. Now, that's gross right away, but there's more to this.
Dirt is disgusting.
Upon further investigation, the man seemed to be quoting the Bible in a drunken haze. Right. According to the Huffington Post, he had been digging up the coffin of his father in order to continue an argument. When asked if he felt as though he was violating the grave, the shovel-brandishing loving son insisted that his father must be on the ground rather than beneath it. Next time, a number one dad mug should suffice as a family courtesy.
I told you I didn't dent the car!
It wasn't me. I took the trash out.
I just like, how long was his dad dead for?
I don't know.
I just imagine like his dad's been dead for 5 years. He's like walking around his kitchen. Honey, just drop it. No.
I'm mad.
It's the principal.
I'm mad.
I'm going to go talk to him right now.
There's no way that Randy Johnson was better in his prime than Pedro.
Hell no. For the love of God. He had Schilling to protect him, Randy Johnson.
So, that brings us to our final voting here. Burlum, to recap, you have the couple who was having sex one last time.
Mm-hmm.
You have the maxi pad bandit. And you have the argument that lasted a little too long.
I would say a lifetime, but it went a little past that.
Yep. So,
all right,
here we go.
Last place, not dirtbag of the week, the maxi pad guy.
Not the dirtbag.
He's not. He's...
Even though he was stealing batteries and chargers. It's worth going to prison for that, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a stupid story.
I can't check my fantasy team. I got to charge it now.
I ain't got time for this. We're the feminine byproducts in your cell phone section.
Okay.
It's just a weird story. It can't be dirtbag of the week.
Not the maxi pad guy. No. Okay. All right, here we go.
This is... It's a little bit of a tough one.
It's a good one. It's a good one. The last couple I did to you, you had one right away. Yeah. So I like this struggle here.
Yeah.
And I also like your personal struggle because before we went on the air, you drank a Steel Reserve Allies Series Spiked Punch, 8% alcohol, Berlu.
Yeah.
You want to tell a story behind that?
Well, what happened was I didn't have much cash in my wallet, and I went to get...
Story of this podcast.
Tried to get some beer.
We're lucky we have the $10 that Podbean charges us. Thank you, Wolf Nation.
But it's a $10 minimum, and the beer was like $9.96.
They hit you with that?
Yeah. I'm like, I got to get something. So I'm like... All
right, now, here's the thing. You brought over Woodchuck Pumpkin Hard Cider, right?
Yeah, that was not a good choice.
Not good. Was the Steel Reserve Spike Punch
much better? Much not. That was the easy argument of tonight. That was smooth. Went down fruity, delicious. Nothing sparks a podcast more than Steel Reserve Alloy Series.
That's it.
Yeah.
Why'd you get English there?
Get emotional.
All right, let's get back. All right. You have the man in Kentucky who was arrested for digging up his dad and continuing the argument, or the sex couple.
I'm going to say the sex couple, and here's my theory on it. It's what it boils down to. It's an incredible dickish move. It's really insane that he had to get that argument done. But at the end of the day, it's not going to hurt his dad in any way. These other people, they're like, oh my God, I'm kidnapped. This is terrible. This is horrible. Wait, I got to see you two fuck.
Okay.
I got to do this for 6 hours. And they only sent out one of the three hostages. So you got to imagine they were fighting each other. Like, that. I don't want to see him do that again. Mm-hmm. He don't know what he's doing. He put two in the stink.
Mr. Ryan Patrick Bautista and Lian Hun,
yep.
You are the Verbal Shenanigans Dirtbags of the week. All right. I think that's bringing us to the end. Before we go, I'd like to thank our two guests today, too, on the podcast. Richard Nunn, proprietor of Wolf Nation, WULF Nation. I'm very excited to be working with them both on the podcast and outside of the podcast.
Can't wait.
And AJ Mattioli could not have been a more sincere guest and a lot of great stuff there. So check out AJ Mattioli, Mattioli Productions. And Berlu, anything to promote?
I will promote, since the video came out on YouTube, foodchallenges.com, our buddy Randy Santel. His video on his YouTube site, just look up Randy Santel, is his day at Sabretti's Hot Dogs in Hapacon, where he ate 26, just barely nudged out me in that category. But if you want to look him up, like I said, YouTube for Randy Santel or his website, foodchallenges.com.
Absolutely. And I guess I will promote my comedy show November 8th at Tierney's Tavern in Montclair. I will be with Fernandez headlining, Doug Max, Michael Falcone, and whole bunch of others that are good comics. So if you can come on out on a Sunday night, that would be great.
A lot of friends of the cast.
Yes, a lot of friends of the cast. And Doug. So good.
Definitely a person that went too early. Not too much of a genius.
The best vocalist in rock of all time, if you ask me.
I can't debate that.
So, as we come to an end here, couple things going on. I think I'm going to put the t-shirt order in this week. I'm going to I'm going to contact you guys and get your sizes, but I'm going to order a bulk order. If you can support it, it's going to be $15. It's really nothing. We're just covering the cost of the shirts. Also, keep following us at VS Comedy on Twitter. Check out some of the episodes this month. There's been a lot of good ones. Kane Callis, Terry Tate, a.k.a. Lester Spate. I guess I should say Lester Spate, a.k.a. Terry Tate.
No, just call him Terry Tate for the rest of his life.
And then Catcher Corbett. So we've had some good podcasts on. We are back, and we are flowing as good as ever. Ew. Said the maxi pad band. But iTunes, Stitcher, all that stuff, and we're going to keep working on our website and all that kind of stuff, and we're going to keep growing, and please help us. So life is funny, people. Keep the wind at your back. See, I messed that up. Life is funny, people. Laugh at it. Keep the wind at your back.
Queen does that to you.
No way this guy was gay.
Nah.
I can't see anything in this video that would say that otherwise.
There's too much masculinity.
Yep.
Oh, wait.